I'd like to begin in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, written on the board from Eden to heaven, and that's the burden that the Lord had, message that the Lord had given me to share with you all in service this morning. Beginning in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it said, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." And so God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. God created, and you notice it said, let us make man. God the Father was there, but also present was God the Spirit and God the Son. They were there from the foundation of the world. They were there together, working in the creation. And when God said, let us make man in our image, I heard just recently someone, I think it was in one of the books the children had, it said something about that we are created in God's image because of intelligence and because of the ability to reason and the ability. That is not what this is speaking of. Man is really not much higher than some animals in some ways, in some aspects. But the difference between man and other animals is that God created man, and it said He gave him a living soul. And yes, God gave man the dominion over other animals in this world because there is a higher level of intelligence. But the primary difference between man and animals is that God gave us an eternal soul. And that is how we are in the image of God. Animals die and it's over. But when we die, there is an afterlife. There is something to come. We have a spirit, we have a soul that God gave to us, and that is how we are in the image of God. And He went on to say, then we'll continue reading, "And God blessed them." And He gave them dominion. I'm just going to summarize for time this morning. He told them to multiply and replenish the earth. And God said, "I've given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, and so to you it shall be for meat." And in verse 31 it said, God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was what? It was very good. God looked down on His creation. He said, this is good. Have you ever been in some of that good in creation? Maybe a different way of phrasing it. But have you ever been there and just looked around and said, this is very good. This is good. And Adam and Eve, we read about how the Lord came down and communed with them in the cool of the evening. And God created a special place for Adam and Eve. And in the beauty of all of our world, I've been to some beautiful places that I'm sure you have as well. Some places that are just inspiring. And some places you feel a real, almost a closer communion with God. For me, that place is Oregon, strangely enough. In some places, to be out by the coast and to be there and look out over the ocean and be there and walk the beaches and up at Silver Creek Falls, to get away by yourself and be in the middle of the forest in the cool of the evening. There's nothing that can replace that. It's just good. And you may have your own special places in your life. But God had a plan in mind for mankind, and He created a special garden for them. And the name of that garden was Eden. And in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it said, "The Lord formed man out of the dust and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul in the image of God. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food." Can you imagine being in the Garden of Eden? take the most beautiful places in this earth that we've been in, and then just know that there was an extra special place that God had made. God had made provision for them. The tree of life was there. Now, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was also there. But the tree of life, do you know what that tree did? It made man immortal. Because as long as Adam and Eve were able to partake of that tree, they did not die. There was no sickness. There were those of us that are, I say us now, because those of us that are starting to get those aches and pains that come with age, I'm starting to get there. Do you realize that there was none of that in Eden? They had health and vitality, and they had the best of this world. There was no corruption of sin. They never cried because of sorrow. They never had it. There was no separation. There was no death. It was a wonderful place to be that God had created for them. But as you know the story, well, before we get there, I want to say this. God came into this garden. It was a place man was to live forever. Does everybody understand that? There may be a little teaching in here this morning. But it was a place they could live forever in health, in communion with God. And I know it's not everybody likes this song, but I like us to sing one verse of How Great Thou Art. And as we sing it, I want you to go back in your mind to a place of that you have had that special communion with God. That place where you looked on the creation and it was just beautiful and you felt the presence of God and just what wells out of the Spirit is, Lord, how great you are. When I look over the ocean and I look up to the stars when it's nighttime and I see all the stars in the expanse of the sky and I feel the presence of the Lord, there's nothing that can substitute for that experience. And I would say, God is great. How great thou art.
Stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display, and sings my soul, my Savior God to thee.
In the midst of that beauty and with the presence of God, you know the story. Adam and Eve, they disobeyed the Lord. They disobeyed God. They did the one thing that God had told them not to do, and they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And their eyes were opened, and all was not good. And God came and He asked me, He said, "What have you done? What have you done?" And God put a curse on this earth as a result of that sin. I want to read you what God told him. Genesis chapter 3. In verse 16, He said to the woman, "I'm going to greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." That was the curse that God put on women. He gave them that there was going to be sorrow in childbearing. I don't know what God's plan was before the curse, but I know that it was not a difficult process to bring a child into this world. But here it was part of the curse to a woman. And secondly, God set something in order. And He told the woman that her desire was going to be to her husband. I asked Renee, and I studied this independently of her, but I asked her yesterday, we were driving down the road, and you sisters, I don't know what you think about, but I said, Renee, what do you think it means when it says her desire shall be to her husband? And she told me, if you don't mind if I share, is that okay? She's on the spot now. But she told me, she said, if I feel your disapproval as my husband, she said, if I feel your disapproval, she said, my world is just, what word did you use? Just leave it with me. But it's just that her world is not, it's not what it ought to be. It's just her perspective in view of herself as a woman and her place and her role and how she functions. Life is not what it should be if she felt my disapproval. It was because God said, your desire will be to your husband. That is something that God placed. And it was a result of sin, but now it is a reality of life. And He also said your husband would rule over you. I don't know what all God's intent was before, but the Scripture still teaches a woman to be under what to her husband? Under subjection to her husband. The Scripture in the New Testament said she is to obey her husband in all things, without exception. She is to obey and submit herself to her husband. Now that is not political, that's not politically expedient in our world today, but do you realize that that was the place that God wanted a woman then to fill because of her transgression? God said, this is the way it is, should be, and is going to be. This morning that has not changed, but I find that if you try to escape what God put in place here, it's going to cause more trouble. Because this is what God put in order. And a wife that does not place herself in subjection to her husband, that marriage will not be what it's supposed to be. God put it in order and He told the wife, He said, you honor and you respect and you obey and you honor Him as the authority in your life. Folks, that is still the way that the New Testament teaches it to be in homes today. It is not to be just, some say, well, that's quite a cross. And I know at times it is, but you know it is a cross. The other side is a cross as well. What did God tell Adam? God told Adam in verse 17, He said, because you listen to your wife. You see, you listen. Eve was the first one to disobey. Because you listen to her, He said, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. And in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. The curse that was put on man was production. To eat is not going to be easy now. It's from the sweat of your brow. And I remember as a child out weeding, thinking about my father Adam. And thinking if Adam wouldn't have done what he did, I wouldn't be out here having to weed. But do you know if Adam wouldn't have done it, we probably would have. You understand what I'm saying? But the point is, so we can't just say, well, old Adam and Eve, because if you would have been there, if I would have been there, we probably would have ended up doing the same thing. But that was the curse, and it was also now the responsibility. See, with a curse, with the change, there came responsibility. And sisters, if you ever feel like it's a cross to honor my husband as the head, think about what it would be if your husband said, well, I don't want to be under the curse anymore. I'm going to stay in bed today. Not going to get up and go work. I don't want to go out and sweat, and I don't want to go out and till the ground. Well, then, if he escapes the curse, then you can too. But folks, that's not how God intended it. He intended a man to go out and work and provide for his family, to be there to be a support and a strength to his wife. But it's the order of the Lord. It's the role that we as men have for our family. And I will say, even for other good works. I could say, oh, I'm doing the work of the Lord. But if my family is at home suffering because I'm not there to take care of them, I believe there's some things liable at my hand. Because God has given us family first and foremost, see. But it was part of the curse. Now you're going to have to go work, Adam. He had it good in the Garden of Eden. But he also told the devil something, didn't he? Verse 15, he said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. You know this morning that God put a curse on the devil as well. But one of the curses, and we're going to come back to this, that he gave man is, you're going to die. You were made out of dust, you're going to go back to dust, physically. But do you realize that God had another plan in mind for man? But what happened when sin came into the world? Very quickly, we read about Adam and Eve having two boys. What happened? Cain killed Abel, didn't he? That's what sin does. And that's what I want to impress upon us in part this morning is that we read about how in the very beginning murder was there because of sin. Sin brings heartache in life. Sin is what brings destruction. It is sin that brings sorrow in life. It is sin that brings the tears in life. It is sin that splits up families. It is sin that splits up relationships. It is sin that causes the sorrow and separation. It is sin that brings forth death this morning. It was sin that caused all of us now to reach a certain point and die physically. Sin brings heartache. And if you leave, this is one of the things I would, if we leave here being reminded this morning, sin brings heartache. And we can look at the result of sin today and say, how can they do that? How can they act that way? It's because of sin. Adam and Eve did it. Cain and Abel did it. Gross sin, murder. And you know why he was murdered? Because of jealousy. And we may revisit that another time. Jealousy is a horrible thing. Being jealous over someone else's relationship, someone else's blessing, someone else's promotion, God's anointing on someone else, something. Jealousy is a horrible thing, but sin brings heartache. And when we have decisions in life to make, I would that we remember what sin does. It's going to bring heartache. And when the devil makes it look attractive, remember the result of sin. But I am thankful that God still had a plan in mind. Sin spread. It brought loneliness, it brought sorrow, it brought death. Because of sin. And Paul said it this way. He said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of death? Because I'm not in Eden anymore. Folks, we're not in Eden anymore this morning. And maybe you're not the one that's killing your brother, but can you imagine how Adam and Eve felt? Here I'm their parents, and I look on my children that I'm trying to tell them now, hey, I disobeyed God. Don't you do it. Serve the Lord. Do what He told us to do. And now I look at my children and one of them was killed. Not only did I lose a son, my other one is a murderer now. And the despondency that that brought, folks, we are not in Eden anymore this morning. There are sorrows that we are going to experience in life because of sin in the world. Because of sin. Well, in the Old Testament, they offered sacrifices to atone for committed sin, but folks, they still didn't have power over it. Look at David. Bathsheba, Uriah, David was a murderer in essence. David was a murderer. And we can just go through the Old Testament. Abraham was a liar. Wait, Abraham was a man of faith, but he also told half-truths. Is that right? They were men that we learned from positive characteristics, but they still did not have an atonement to give them a heart cleansing. But I am thankful God had something to say to the devil as well. I'm going to put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. He was speaking about from the seed of a woman, the one that committed the first transgression from her seed. He said, there's going to come out a victor. You know, again, I know I've demonstrated this before, but you're in a fight with somebody, thinking about old kind of barbaric times, and you put your foot on their head, you're the victor. They're down on the ground, and your heel is right on their head. That's what he was talking about right here. He told the devil that there's going to come a place from the seed of a woman, that there's going to be someone that is going to defeat you. Who was that prophecy fulfilled in? It was fulfilled in Christ. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save the people from their sins. That was a fulfillment of a prophecy that was given. Way back in the beginning, God had a plan in mind, folks. He did not leave us. We're not in Eden anymore, but He did not leave us in a sinful state. He did not leave us in a condition that we don't have any power. And someone says, well, why do you do that? Say, well, the devil made me do it. Do you know because of Jesus Christ this morning, the devil can't make you do it anymore? Because Jesus came to save us from our sin, folks. We're not in Eden anymore, but nor am I in a place that the devil can make me do it now. Because Jesus came to bring about a change in my life. Jesus came, He grew up to manhood, and He healed people that were sick. He cast out devils. He worked miracles. Those that were bound, Jesus came, and He set them free. The blind were able to see. Through Jesus Christ, the impossible was made possible. And so then, let's sing a verse of He Touched Me. In a world of sin, in a condition where sin is all around us, Jesus came and He reached out right where we live and He touched us. And He made a difference. Yes, praise the Lord. Aren't you thankful that Jesus touched you this morning? When Jesus touches us, things are going to change. The things that we can't do for ourselves, the hurts, the pain, the sin, the failures. Jesus reaches out and He makes a difference in our life. So thankful for the touch of Jesus Christ this morning. Aren't you thankful that God had a plan in mind? You're not in Eden anymore, but He sent His Son Jesus to look down in our despondency and our problems, and He reached out and He touched us. Have you felt the touch of Christ in your life? And I'm so thankful it wasn't just a one-time event. Yes, He saved me from my sin, but there have been so many times I've come broken to the Lord, and He reached out His hand and He touched me. And it wasn't just it was nothing I did for myself. That's the thing about it. It was something divine, and He touched me, and He made me whole. I thank God this morning for Christ in this world of sorrow and pain, that there is one that can be there to change the heart and make a difference. And so we read over in Philippians 4:13, and you children can quote it. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. How can we do all things? Through Christ. Can't do it in my own strength, but I can do all things through Christ, and I can live victoriously. I can overcome the devil. When I am tempted, I can say no. You young people know you have that power this morning. When the devil comes along and tempts you, you have the power through Christ now to say no to the devil. That is an awesome power. That is a great power. That is one of the greatest powers in the world, that I can come and in the face of Satan, I can say no. I'm not going to do it. How can I do it? Through Christ. Through Christ. It's not through willpower. It's not through my own righteousness, but it's through the grace of God and through the power of His blood, that greater is He that is in you than who? Than he that is in the world. From all the filth and the defilement and temptations and pressure that all of us feel, greater is He that is in you this morning. No, I'm not in Eden right now, but I've got a power within me because of Christ. We can go out with victory this morning. Oh, victory in Jesus. Let's sing verse 2 of that and then the chorus.
Cause the blind to see, and then I cry, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Yes, thank the Lord for victory this morning. In Jesus, my Savior, forever He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Aren't you thankful for victory this morning? And if you don't have victory this morning, you may say, well, Brother Michael, we're not in Eden anymore. No, we're not in Eden, but God had a plan. And He sent His Son that we might have victory, although we're still in a world of sorrow. We're still in a world of care. Brethren, you still got to go and work by the sweat of your brow. And sisters, there's still some heartache and there's still in sorrow and childbirth and there's still a place of submission. But now it shouldn't be a cross. But now, Lord, this is the place You gave to us and we're going to fulfill it as unto Christ. But there is a place this morning of victory over sin. There's a place of victory over self. There's a place of victory over the world. Folks, I am so tired of religion this morning. Religion does not minister to the needs of people's lives. But Christ does. You have a need in your spirit. Christ can make a difference. You have a place that you've been bound up by something. Christ can change that. You look on your family and those we requested prayer for this morning. I can't do everything for them. But God can. The Lord can give them victory when we say, Lord, how can the Lord help Wendy? How is that even possible? We look at the physical and emotional maybe in the things the world has bound up. There's victory in Jesus this morning. And when someone gets ready and say, Lord, I can't do it and I need something, the Lord will just come along and touch them. And immediately there's a change. Oh, victory in Jesus. Thank the Lord that we can do all things through Him this morning. Through a time of the needs that we have in life and through the sorrow of life, God had a plan in mind. And when Jesus came, God still had a plan. It wasn't over yet. And I know we're going to have to move on here this morning to get to that plan. But it wasn't over yet. We left Eden. We lost immortality in the flesh. The curse of death was upon man. Now there's sorrow and there's pain, but now I can say, Lord, thank You for spiritual victory through Christ. But the Lord still had a plan. All things are for your sake. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. Do you believe that this morning? All things are for your sake. Why? That the abundant grace. Abundant. There's enough for you this morning. And we look at our trials and mountains and say, Lord, why? Well, There's abundant grace for your wives this morning, that we might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. For though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Folks, Jesus had another plan in mind. He had another plan in mind. Yes, we're not in Eden, and now we're in the middle of a place of a dark world and pain and suffering. But in the middle of that, Jesus came to make a change in our life. But it still wasn't over. God had a plan in mind. And it was an eternal plan. That there would be a place that after we died, there was a result of the curse, that we could be brought into the very presence of God, where there is an absence of all the pain and sorrow that we still have around us. That's the joy, folks, of heaven. And there is a place this morning in the battles and trials that you face. The scripture says that joy, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. I know that there's a lot of heartache in this life, but we have Christ. But the Lord came to give us victory to bring us to another place. Let's sing a verse of Joy Comes in the Morning. Yeah, there's sorrow in this life, saints. But we have something to look forward to. God still has a plan for us. Hold on. In the morning, weeping only lasts for the night. Hold on, my child, comes in the morning. Darkest hour means dawn is just in sight. So if we will hold on this morning through the sorrow and pain of this world, there's coming a place of joy in the morning. Because God has a plan in mind. And He came with that plan to forgive us of our sins, and eventually He wants to take us from Eden to eternity in heaven. Heaven. Do you know there's going to be a day that Jesus doesn't come back? Does everybody know that? There's going to be a day that Jesus is going to come breaking through those clouds, and the dead in Christ, the scripture says, shall rise first, and we that remain will rise to meet Him in the air. We have something to look forward to this morning, and then we look at heaven, and we don't have the time this morning. It's taking a little more time because of the singing. I'll put it on that. But in Revelation chapter 21, you can read it yourself if you want, but it talks a little bit about heaven. And it said there, God will wipe away. He's going to wipe away all tears from their eye. And there would be no more death, there'll be no more sorrow, nor crying, nor shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? In a place that God has prepared that's better than Eden. But yet there's no temptation, there's no sorrow, there's no pain, there's no heartache, there's nothing bad. Anything that brings grief or heartache to your life, if you will stay faithful to the Lord, there is coming a day, it's all going to be gone. And all that's going to be left is the good and the lovely and the pleasant and those things that create. And again, Those of you that have been around me very long have heard me say this, but we're not going to be little spirits floating around. I hope by now all the children know that. When Jesus comes back, we're going to have a glorified body. No more aches, no more headaches, no more pain. Y'all that are getting a little older, no more hobbling around. There's no more seizures up there. There's no more muscle spasms up there. There's no more malaria up there. There's no more sickness up there. But we're going to have a glorified body, and we're going to have quality of life. We're not going to be these little spirits just floating around playing on little harps. You know, I don't know how that works. But we're going to have a glorified body. We're going to have quality of life. John the Revelator said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. He was talking about a place of abode. You're going to be living up there. It's not Eden, but it's better than Eden, and we call it heaven. Oh, I want to go this morning. I want to go. And do you know up there you're going to meet all those that have been faithful? I was thinking about heaven this week, and I know I've shared it before, and y'all just suffer along with me a little bit. But I was thinking about heaven and who I'm going to see when I get up there. You know, Renee's dad, he's going to be there. I'm going to get to see those that have been spiritual helps to me through the years that have passed on. I'm gonna see them because of their faithfulness. And they're up there, and I'm gonna get to see them one day. And I have a little bit of myself up in heaven too. You know, there's a reason why abortion is wrong this morning. It's because those are children, those unborn children are God's children. I have a child that we miscarried. I have a child up in heaven, and I began to reflect on it this week, and I thought, I wonder what they're like. They're unmarred by the sorrow of this life. We look around, you see my hair's getting gray and I had some sickness and I got the blemishes and have some battle scars. But do you know there's some children up there this morning that have been untouched by the sorrow. If you had a child, maybe you have some of yourself up there. That's a reality this morning. That's a reality. I've got some in heaven of mine and I want to go see. I can't wait. But do you know there's also some to look forward to? Greatest of all, I want to see Jesus. I want to see the one that has been such a friend to me. I want to see the one that has touched me so many times and brought healing. Folks, heaven is going to be wonderful. No more death, no sorrow, no pain. All I can say is what a day that will be. And you know, and this is just a side note, in Revelation 22, he's giving us some symbolism in a picture of heaven. You know what he said would be by the river of life? Someone remember, God did a little planting up in heaven for us as well. You know what he said? He was the tree of life for the healing of the nations, for all manner of sickness. And that one, we're never going to be cut out from that one, folks. This for eternity. So just as in Eden, they ate that and it caused them to stay well and no disease, so there is symbolically in heaven no sickness, no disease. And you just come and pluck that from the tree of life and go along and say, oh, this will hold me for another 1,000, 2,000 years. And that's putting time limits on eternity, which we can't really do. But, you know, it's just going to be wonderful up there. Let's sing a verse of what a day that will be. Here's to dim the eye, all is peace forevermore. On that happy golden shore, what a day, glorious day. That... Sing verse 2. No sorrow there. From Eden to heaven, that's what we have to look forward to. No more parting over there. Yes, thank the Lord. With the one who died for me. Thank you.
my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by... Yes, thank you, Lord.
What a day. You want to go this morning? Oh, I know it's a long journey from Eden to heaven. It's been a long journey, but folks, we have something worth working for this morning. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it because the other message is from Eden to hell. And that's just as much a reality. I don't want that to be my message. I want this to be my message from Eden to heaven. Because that's where I want to end up. So my question in closing this morning is there anything in your life that's worth missing heaven over? Is there anything this morning? What would a man give, the scripture says, in exchange for his soul? What are we willing? What temptation? What sin are we wanting to hold on to so much that we're not willing to allow that place of victory in the Lord? What attitude are we harboring that we're willing to miss heaven over? What place in our life of unforgiveness? We say, well, there's just one spot I'm not willing to give it to the Lord. Is it worth missing heaven over? I would say, no, it's not. So Lord, touch me. Lord, I want to make it all the way. And if there is anything in my life that's hindering me from experiencing the joy of victory that's going to get me to heaven, then Lord, I can't do anything about it. And all I can plead is say, Lord, would you come and touch me? Folks, the Lord can get us ready for heaven this morning. That's why the trials come. It's why the battles come in life. The Lord wants to get us ready to take us from Eden to heaven. So as we look in our life this morning, all I can say is, Lord, help me, because there's nothing worth missing heaven over. There's nobody worth missing heaven over. If you have someone in your life that's causing you grief and pain and trouble, and they just won't go away, is it worth missing heaven over them? Is it worth it? And I would say, no, it's not. Just stay close to God and love and forgive and commit it to the Lord and go on knowing that a brighter day is coming. I want to go this morning. Are you ready? Let's stand and sing a song. If there's anything this morning, if there is anything in your life as you consider heaven and what it's going to take, and you just need the Lord to touch you, the Lord wants to do that for us. And I'll tell you, it's not just for sin. If it had not been for the touch of the Lord in my life, so many times, after I was saved, I would not be here this morning. But it was in my need. I said, Lord, I need some help. I need you to touch me. And the Lord will do that for us. But folks, let's not miss heaven.